those who believe what they see, but mistrust what they know. This is my story. Good evening, dear friend. Frederick Hemp, your scout on tonight's backwoods stroll. Righteousness is a pillar of fundamental Christianity. And it was no more so than in the year 1690 in the town of Salem, Massachusetts. Tonight, we team up with a young man whose self-righteousness is questioned by a new friend. A new friend who has a large stake in the young man's views. It's called Young Goodman Brown, and was adapted by John Douglas from a story by Nathaniel Hawthorne. So, come for a walk with us, but watch carefully the scenery that you pass.
I beg your pardon, Goody Cole. I didn't see you until I...
Until you'd almost knocked a poor old woman right into the mud. You good-for-nothing young rascal. And she your godmother to boot.
Well, I didn't...
Where are you rushing to so fast, Goodman Brown? Has the devil lent you his healed voice? Eh?
I have a journey I must make.
Tonight? It's almost sunset.
My journey must be done. Forth and back again, between now and sunrise.
Your journey.
Goody Cloy, I beg you, let me pass.
Goodman Brown, not a step do you move beyond your own door here until you tell me why you are going out into the wild forest tonight of all nights. There are wolves and devil Indians enough there at the best of times, the good Lord knows. But tonight, when the powers of evil are exalted...
Tis a private business.
Private, indeed. Do you not hear the good people of Salem in the meeting house lifting up their voices to the Lord that his own elect may sleep in safety this night?
Well, yes.
What ails your wife? What does good woman drown of such madness?
She would stop me if she could.
Then she's more sense than you have.
Goodman! Hector! Pray you do not go!
Goodman, did I hear you?
I but said she will hate it, good woman Cloy. She does not understand.
Husband, I beg you. Oh, the blessings of God upon you, Goody Cloy.
And upon you, Goody Brown. But none for your man. He leaves you all alone this night, is not so.
I must.
A loving husband, truly.
Well,
a wife must obey her husband in all things, Goody Cloy. You taught us so in catechism.
Ha! And now you turn it against me. Aye, he's too big now to thrash with a hazel switch, as I used to do many a time when he forgot the Psalms or the prophets. So, you'll not hinder him then?
Not if it is his will.
Then there's no more to be said. I came to bring you to meet him, Goody Brown, that we might rejoice in the Lord together. Say goodbye to your foolish husband there, and mind you follow me prompt. For myself, I'll not miss a syllable of the word of God. And for you, Goodman Brown, when you're alone in the darkness of the forest, remember your scripture. For the devil is a rampaging lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Goody Cloyce is a holy woman, but somewhat harsh in the tongue.
Oh, dearest heart. Why not put off your journey till sunrise and sleep in your own bed tonight? A lone woman is troubled with such dreams and such thoughts that she's afraid of herself sometimes.
Dear Faith, my darling wife, this one night in all the year I must carry away from me.
Does my pretty wife doubt me already? And we but 3 months married.
No, no.
Then go in now. Fetch your shawl and follow Goody Cloyce to holy service yonder. Faith, I'll kiss thee farewell.
Oh, you must not kiss me in the public street.
Well, then I'll kiss the pink ribbons on your cap, Faith.
Oh.
There. Now say your prayers and go to bed at nightfall, and no harm will come to you.
Husband.
Go now.
Then God bless you. And may you find all is well when you come back.
Poor little Faith. There was trouble in her face, as if a dream had warned her what work is to be done tonight. No. No, it would kill her to think it. She's a blessed angel on earth. And after this night, I'll cling to her skirts and follow her to heaven. After this one night. Beneath the trees, it's like a river of ink. Lonely. Lonely everywhere. Too lonely to be safe. Below the boughs could be an unseen host of watchers. There may be a hellish Indian behind every tree. What if the devil himself should be at my very elbow? Who's there?
A friend. You expect me, Woodman Brown.
Who? I know you not. The man I was to meet
was very different in form and air. Since I am a guest everywhere, Goodman, I take many forms. The kind stranger who spoke to you yesterday and promised sweet things, forbidden things, that godly Phelan turns his face away from, you could have if you would come this night into the forest. Did I not say so? See how I am everywhere, everyone. Look good, who I am tonight.
I know your face from childhood.
Most men do.
It is my own grandfather, I see. You mock me.
By no means. There are many coming to my service tonight who knew him well. I wear his face and form in compliment to his memory and to you. You are late, Goodman Brown. The clock of the Old South was striking as I came through Boston, and that is full 15 minutes ago.
Faith kept me back a while.
But not for long. Come now. This is a dull pace for the beginning of a journey. Shall we walk on?
Friend, hear me. I have kept covenant by meeting you here, but you know I have scruples concerning the matter you know of. I am going back to Salem, now.
Are you? Well, let's walk on a little, reasoning as we go. If I fail to convince you, of course you'll turn back. See, the moon is rising to light our road. We are but a little way in the forest as yet.
Too far. Too far. My father never went into the woods on such an errand, nor his father before him.
Oh?
Never. We have been a race of honest men and good Christians since the days of the martyrs.
Ah, I have been as well acquainted with your family as ever one among the Puritans, and that's no trifle to say.
It cannot be.
Oh, yes. I helped your grandfather when he lashed the Quaker women so smartly through the streets of Salem. It was I brought your father a pitch pine knot to burn the Indian village to the last woman and child. They were my good friends, both. many a pleasant walk we've had along this path, and returned merrily after midnight. I long to be friends with you. Their sake.
I marvel they never spoke of these matters. Or rather, I marvel not. The least rumor of the sort would have driven them from New England.
You don't say.
We are a people of prayer and good works to boot. We abide no such wickedness.
I'm pleased to hear it. But wickedness or not, I have a very general acquaintance here in New England. Deacons of many a church have drunk the communion wine with me. The great and general court of Massachusetts votes at my command.
Can this be so?
The governor and I... these are state secrets.
I have nothing to do with the governor and council. They have their own ways. They're no rule for a simple farmer like me.
Oh, you must not underestimate yourself.
But if I were to go on with you like this, how should I meet the eyes of that good old man, our minister, at Salem Village? His voice would make me tremble both Sabbath day and lecture. What?
Oh, do go on, Gunnar, go on. Only, please don't kill me with marriage.
Well, then, to end the matter at once, there is my wife, Faith. It would break her dear heart, and I'd rather break my own.
Nay, if that be the case, go your way, Goodman Brown. I would not that Faith should come to any harm. Not for 20 old women. Like, for instance, that one, hobbling on the path ahead of us.
What? Who? Quiet. It's Goody Cloyes.
Marvel, truly, that Goody Cloyes should be so far in the wilderness at nightfall.
Oh, with your leave, friend. I must take a cut through the woods until we have left this Christian woman behind. Being a stranger to you, she might ask with whom I was consorting and where I was going.
Do so. Follow close beside me, behind that screen of trees, while I approach her.
She'll banish you with scripture. Mark my words.
And you will mark hers. Now hide yourself. Good evening, Goody Cloyes.
The devil!
Then Goody Cloyes knows her old friend.
Oh, forsooth. Is it your worship indeed?
Your servant, ma'am.
Yea, truly it is. And in the very image of my dead gossip, old Goodman Brown, the grandfather of the silly fellow that now is. But would your worship believe it? My broomstick has strangely disappeared.
Disappeared?
Aye. Stolen, no doubt, by that unhanged witch, Goody Corey. And that, too, when I was all anointed with the juice of smallage and cinquefoil and wolf's bane.
Mingled with fine wheat and the fat of a newborn babe.
Ah, your worship knows the recipe. So as I was saying, being all ready for the meeting and no horse to ride on, I made up my mind to put it. There is a juicy young man to be taken into communion tonight, and we may all have a round with him in the revels afterwards.
Business first, pleasure afterwards, Goody Cloyes.
Will your worship lend me your arm, then, and we shall be there in a twinkling?
Nay, I may not, but here is my staff, if you will. You know how to make a horse of it.
Trust me. Twisting in my hands, you stock of wood, till I destroyed you. Now, horse and haddock, away. Away!
I think you may come out now, Goodman Brown.
Oh,
why, you look pale. Are you unwell?
That old woman taught me my catechism.
Just so. But we must follow her quickly ourselves. It will be worth all our troubles. Remember, Goodman Brown, journey's end in lovers' meeting.
My mind is made up.
Not another step will I budge on this earth.
Now.
But what if a wretched old woman do choose to go to the devil when I thought she was going to heaven? Is that any reason why I should quit my dear faith and go after her?
You will think better of this by and by.
Not I. Fare you well.
Hey, Goodman Brown. The road back is blocked for the moment. Two horsemen, no, three, are coming up behind us.
Since you are so modest about the fame of my company, we had best conceal ourselves until they ride past, had we not?
Oh, and I, quickly. Why, she's our reverend minister of Salem Village, and the venerable Deacon Gook. And with them is a woman, shawled and veiled like one sick,
a grave and decent company.
Who is the woman?
Be still and listen.
Oh, pull up a moment till I pluck a switch. My horse is lazy and needs a cut or two about the flank. We must.
Oh, indeed, Reverend Sir. Of the two, I'd rather miss an ordination dinner than tonight's
meeting. They tell me that all our community will be there from Connecticut and Rhode Island and beyond, and some of the Indian powwows and medicine wizards.
Painted savages. I hate a fox.
They are our brothers in the oath. After their fashion, they know almost as much devilry as the best of them. And they have a pretty skill to pull a man's soul out of his tortured body.
Tis true.
Oh, there are goodly young women to be led up to the altar.
Companions for our dear sister here. Will you not like that? Sweet one, when we all dance together. She sweats for it. Oh, hear her. She sweats for it.
Mighty well, Deacon Bookin. Now, hurry up. All three are going to be late. Nothing can be done, you know, without me.
And my holy ox.
Still a heaven above? Has it not fallen on us yet?
Look, my dear son. The sky is still there, with the moon and stars brightening in it.
Look up. I look up. With heaven above and faith below, I will yet stand firm against the devil.
Something caught on a branch as they rode by. Here. What is it, Goodman Brown?
It is... ribbon.
Can you see its color?
It is a pink ribbon.
Oh, they must have their little vanities, the sweet sex, must they not?
It was not she.
Oh, Goodman Brown.
No. No.
It was.
Hey.
Why do you lament her so? You will see her soon in the dancer's ring. Your reverend deacon had promised it.
She is gone. My faith is gone. There is no good on earth, and sin is but a name.
Now begins your wisdom.
Come, devil. For to thee this world is given. Follow me with your slow feet, and I will run to your altar before you.
Adam, I tempted you down into the wilderness, but your tears for the lost garden scald me still. Come, meet me where there is no darkness, dear my son. Hurry to meet me in the red clarity of hell.
Thank you. ugly and the vicious, white men in red, aye, and black men dancing in their chains. For all the world pay homage to its real master.
I say,
why, it's my sainted godmother. How do you do, Goody Croy?
Seeing your handsome size, my child. You were always a fool, Goodman Brown. But you had a sweet turn of butt, even when you were a little boy. Here's a stallion will dance to the mare.
Now, keep your hands to yourself, Morgan. Where's my wife?
She waits for Martha. We will lead her to the flaming altar there. His Martha Carrier will take her to the communion. A rampant hag. She has the devil's promise to be queen of hell. And where is your master? His worship is behind the altar, conferring with the great ones of New England. Come see, the governor himself is there. The house of communion is almost come. Prepare yourself. Come your sponsors, the minister and Deacon Buchan, to lead you to the altar.
The fire will be quick, Goodman Brown. Come with us to the fiery altar.
Nay, even now, then, no.
Hurry, the master
destiny. See in the firelight the faces of my worshippers. All whom ye have reverenced from your youth, ye deemed them holier than yourselves, and shrank from your own sin, contrasting it with their lives of righteousness and prayerful aspiration. Yet here they all are in my worshipping assembly. This night, you shall know their secret deeds. How hoary bearded elders of the church have stretched wanton fingers to the young maids of their household. How many a woman, eager for widow's weeds, has given her husband a drink at bedtime and held him to his last sleep in her bosom. You shall know how callow youths made haste to inherit their father's wealth, and how fair maidens, blush not, sweet one, have dug little graves in the garden and bidden me, the sole guest, to an infant's funeral. By the sympathy of your human hearts for sin, ye shall scent out all the places, in church or bedchamber, in street or field or forest, where crime has been committed. Ye shall exult to behold the whole earth, one stain of guilt, one mighty blood spot. There ye stand, my children. Depending on one another's heart, ye had hoped that virtue were not all a dream. Now are ye undeceived. Evil is the nature of man, and must be your only happiness.
Welcome again to the communion of our
Lord.
Hey, look up to heaven and resist the wicked one.
Where are you? Morning. This rock that was the burning ocean is cool and damp. And these branches that were all on fire are soaked in dew. The sky and the dew are pure as crystal. But I myself am staying forever.
Thank that you returned safely. How did you spend the night?
Hold your tongue.
But what else?
Woman, I will not call you good woman ever again. Gather our belongings. We are leaving Salem today forever.
Goodman Brown, I don't understand.
Nor ever call me Goodman again either.
But why are you asking?
Does your tongue not burn to say it? The whole world should burn at once, in one flame. As I came back, I saw Goody Cloy catechizing a poor, innocent child. I snatched the crying babe away from the Hellcat. I passed the meeting house, and through the open window came the voice of our minister calling upon his Lord. I smashed the window and cried out to the congregation, "Do you know what God the wizard prays to? There is no more place for us in Salem. If I stay, I shall be whipped through the streets. Or stones, and you with me, Jezebel, Rahab.
Even the fiend showed some compassion, Goodman.
He is a spirit. Spirits may indulge themselves as they will. I am a man. Mercy I have none. Now gather our belongings and follow me to the wilderness."
Perhaps evil lurks in many corners, and Satan chuckles from the side. Miss Mitchell, a rundown, please, of who was involved.
Young Goodman Brown by Nathaniel Hawthorne was adapted for radio by John Douglas and starred Jay Bowen as Goodman Brown and David Calderisi as Lucifer. Also heard were Louisa Martin as Faith Brown, Marion Waldman as Goody Cloyce, George Murner as the minister, and Richard Kernock as Deacon Gookin. Technical engineering was by Derek Stubbs and Greg Fleet, with special assistance from John Jessup. Sound effects by Jerry Fielding, with special assistance from Bill Robinson. Production assistant, Nancy McElveen. Young Goodman Brown was produced and directed in Toronto by William Lane. Executive producer for the series, Don Kowalczyk. And now, your host.
Thank you. Now, don't be afraid to drop in next week when we examine the economics of corpse buying in the last century in T.E. Stallo's "But Oh, What Happened to Hutchings?" Until then, I'm Frederick Hemp for Nightfall.
CBC Radio.